Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you again on a Tuesday for another interview. I mentioned at the end of last episode that we have a returning guest to the podcast today. That is author Cynthia Diamond. She was on a while back to talk about the fourth book in her Weird Love series. And today she joins us to talk about the fifth book in that same series. This one is called Starting Fires. It is paranormal romance and features a troll and a phoenix as the main characters. Now, if that doesn't intrigue you, I don't know what will, because how often do you see those two characters, even one of those characters, as a main character in a paranormal romance? Now you get both. Let me go ahead and give you the description of the book. Bill the Skinner is only one bounty away from his freedom. He just has to catch Kindle, a fiery phoenix, to escape the slaver's whip. But Kindle's blazing confidence and sensual air ignites an inferno inside him, leaving Bill not only chasing her, but desiring her as well. Now the troll wants to claim her as his own, if only it wasn't at the cost of his life. For 30 years, Kindle has run from the werewolf, who put a price on her head. Now, the best bounty hunter in the Weird has come for her, and it will take more than a seductive smile and flirty wiggle to elude him. Bill's tenacity is unrelenting, and his heated kisses are even more powerful. But if she gives in to him, an eternity of pain from the hands of her worst nightmare awaits her. So you can already see that there's romance, there's tension, there's all those great things that you come to expect in a book like this. They are thrown together by circumstances. There's an immediate attraction. They've got to figure out what that means. They have to figure out if they even like each other, first of all, or they're just attracted to each other. They're in a situation where they really shouldn't trust one another. I mean, they're bounty and bounty hunter. And it's just one of those situations where they have a lot to figure out and a lot to contend with, because they both have enemies. They both have people who are looking for them. They both have what feels like impossible circumstances. So, as I said, this is the fifth in Cynthia's Weird Love series. The first three were about the Constant sisters. The fourth one was about Tony, who is kind of like a brother to the Constant sisters. And now here we have moved away from that family to a certain extent and are exploring other aspects of the Weird. And I mentioned this again in the interview, but that's Weird, W-Y-R-D, just in case you are wondering if you haven't heard of Cynthia's series. So it is a lot of fun. It is full of Cynthia's normal hilarious snark, and just she writes. She has such a fun way of writing, and a lot of her characters, I've said before, Cynthia writes them like how I sometimes talk in my head. I especially felt that with the first book in this series. One of the characters, just she talked like I sometimes talk in my head, and I love that. So I love reading Cynthia because it's so easy to hear the voices and really get to know the characters. Before we get to the interview, though, I do want to say that I have copies of this book to give away. So if you are a fan of paranormal romance, if you're a fan of just funny contemporary urban fantasy, you really should check out this book and enter the giveaway. Stay tuned until the end of the interview, and I'll let you know how you can go ahead and enter the giveaway. So now let's turn to that interview. Again, I am speaking with author Cynthia Diamond about her book Starting Fires, which is Weird Love Book 5.
Hi, Cynthia. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi. It's so great to be back.
I am so happy to have you back, and we are here to talk about your Weird Love series. There's a new book called Starting Fires, number 5. Before we talk about the series, though, in case people didn't hear the first episode or need a refresher, can you share a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. My name is Cynthia Diamond. I write paranormal romance. My current series is called Weird Love. And I write about pretty much urban fantasy, so it has a very modern day setting. All of my characters are fun and snarky, and there's a lot of humor, there's a lot of adventure, and I'm a very big advocate of consensual sex, so you'll find a lot of the love scenes have that as kind of their central point there.
Mm-hmm. I was telling my father-in-law this morning about the interview that I was doing today, and he said, "Oh, what kind of books does she write?" And he doesn't really read a lot or anything. And so I was trying to describe paranormal romance to him. And after I finished with trolls and vampires and werewolves, there was just this long pause, and he said, "Oh,
yeah,
okay."
I get that a lot. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You get used to that reaction a lot, where they're like, "What do you write?" And you're like, "I write paranormal romance." And then if the romance word doesn't get them, then the word paranormal will. And they just kind of stare at you for a while. And then they nod and go, "Okay, well, that's nice." And you're like, "Okay, well, have a great day." That's all you can do is just smile
go
and give a thumbs up.
Exactly. So it is the Weird Love, Weird, W-Y-R-D, for people who, maybe haven't heard of the series. Tell us a bit about the series in general.
It is about the species that live alongside of us as humans, usually out of sight. Not a lot of humans know that world exists. Pretty much the world, the weird is where all the myths come from. So dragons, sirens, trolls, all of that, that's where they all come from. And they all exist congruently. And my series explores that world and those species and how these different species get together and just relationships and stuff like that. I also try to touch on a lot of just interesting relationship stuff while, using a fantasy background. So I love kind of going into things like, breakups and past abuses and all that sort of thing. I try to make it light. So I'm making it sound a lot heavier than it really is.
Right.
I don't write very heavy stuff, but I do like to try to touch on things that are important to me and issues that I find very interesting to explore in relationships. So I do try to kind of like touch on that when I'm writing the series, but I also am a big nerd, so I really like to do, that's why I keep it in this very fantasy setting, and I'm a big urban fantasy fan. I love urban fantasy. Don't get me wrong, I love high fantasy too, like Lord of the Rings and such, but I really love urban fantasy that's set in today's time period, today's world, and it's really fun to just write that world and try to fit it into the world that we are already in and try to keep it as invisible as possible.
Yeah. And the first four books, the first three books are about the Constant sisters. So there's that continuity. And then the fourth book is he's kind of their brother. He's not their brother. One of those relationships. And now with the fifth book, you have you've branched away from the Constant family, but there's still some connection. So you're starting to explore a little more broadly, I would say, in the weird.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a little more into the world. The world's really fun to explore. And the Constant sisters, actually, I should say, I was about to say, their storyline ran out, and they actually haven't, and I'll talk about that later. But I wanted to start exploring more different parts of the weird and some other different characters. So I'm starting book 5 kind of launches a whole new story arc.
Mm-hmm. And so talk about weird 5, book 5, which is called which is called Starting Fires.
Starting Fires, that is my book 5, and it's actually kind of funny because I wrote Starting Fires right after I wrote Siren Song, which is the first book in the series. So I've been sitting on it for a very long time. It wasn't supposed to really be a part of the series. I wrote it because I really liked the idea of the story. And I just put it in a drawer and forgot about it, essentially, is what happened. And then I brought it back out after I was done with the Constant Sister story arc. And I'm like, well, where I want to keep going with the series. I like to play in this world. What am I going to do? So I pulled it back out. I rewrote the whole thing. There's barely anything from the original book. And I'm kind of grateful for that because it really wasn't written that well when I first wrote it. It was really hilariously bizarre and cliche and silly. And I mean, it was fun, but I felt it still had some good potential there. So I took it. I rewrote the whole thing. I cried a whole lot because it was really agonizing to tear that thing apart and put it back together. There was just a lot of roadblocks in my real life going on at the same time as trying to write that book. And then I managed to just kind of fit it in really well. Bill is the hero in Starting Fires, and he actually plays a minor character in book three, which is Dryad's Vine. And that's where he makes his first appearance. And I really had fun. Bill's a troll, and being an avid reader of paranormal romance, there's not a lot of trolls in that genre. I will say that it's not a go-to genre. It's very much like dragons and werewolves and vampires. And I just like the idea that he was a troll, and he's more of a. And if you want to get really like super nerdy, I made my trolls more like orcs. If anyone's ever into Lord of the Rings and all of that. So they're not quite, you know, a short roly-poly guy under a bridge eating goats. They're much
they're not as creepy as orcs either. Let's just get that out there. I mean, like, I wouldn't...
not as creepy.
Because I don't think I'd want to read a romance with the main character was an orc. I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, definitely not as creepy. I kind of made them their own entity is what I tried to do. But it was really fun to create that world. I had a lot of fun. I tried to dip a little bit into like Icelandic and Norse kind of feel for them. So their native tongue is Icelandic, and they are all origined over in like those lands, the very Nordic lands. And he's a very Nordic type of guy, but he doesn't really look Nordic because trolls are green. So I wanted to make them have, you know, more like that olive green kind of skin tones and dark hair and that sort of thing, instead of going, you know, blonde hair, blue eyed type of look. And, and so that was really fun to dig into. And Kindle, who is my heroine, is, a complete like 180 from all the women I've ever written. I feel she has, she was a lot of fun. I just wanted to give it, cause Bill is a very serious, character. He's very my way or the highway, angry, serious, doesn't, you know, take anyone's crap type of character. And I needed to foil him with someone who was the complete opposite. So I made Kindle, who is a phoenix. And that was another species that was really fun to explore and figure out. And she's the one of the characters who I've kind of told, I kind of mentioned them in the book. I call them the Fearsome Threesome, which are the three girls that she's friends with, who the next few books will be kind of centering around, including Raina, who actually is one of the one reoccurring characters in the series, who just keeps coming back and keeps coming back. She's my vampire seneschal. And she is eventually going to get a story. So these two guys are just pretty much kicking off the whole new story arc. And I'm really excited to be exploring, you know, the werewolf. I'm going more into the werewolf community as we're going to figure out how their society works. You find out more about the trolls. You finally get to find out about the witches that I've been kind of like mentioning throughout the whole series, but never really introducing, but you know they exist and how they're different from mages. And I'm really excited to just kind of like expand on this universe. And Starting Fires is very different from my other books simply because I really focused on the romance in this one. This one is definitely a much more intimate story. It definitely focuses on the two characters, Bill and Kindle, and their relationships and their issues. And while my other characters, my other books, do center around the relationship, there's always this very large, huge problem that they're kind of thrust into. And in this one, I wanted it to be a little more of a personal story, a little more romantic, a little more, I hate to say tropey, but it is a little more of a tropey story.
We are actually going to talk more about tropes, especially the trope of fated mates. But first, we do have to take our first break of the podcast. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my interview with author Cynthia Diamond about her book, Starting Fires.
Actually, speaking of tropes, you have a great knack for taking kind of traditional romance tropes and turning them on their head a bit.
You do that
with this book. So fantasy books often have that concept of a fated mate. And with your focus on consensual sex, that can make it a little more tricky, maybe, because some readers hear fated mate, they think, okay, so the man sees the woman, that's it, she's going to be his, and whatever, it doesn't matter what she has to say. In this one, there's actually several layers of the fated mate, but the first one is that Kendall realizes early on that Bill is her fated mate.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about your decision to do that and just that whole trope in general.
Well, I actually really love that trope, being a paranormal romance junkie. I think it's kind of fun. I think my favorite writer who actually does that whole concept is Cressley Cole, and I love her work. She's really fun. She's one of those great, great paranormal romance writers who makes the females just as strong as the males. And she uses the concept of fated mates a lot, and she does it beautifully. Most of the time, though, it's usually the men are the ones who are fated to a woman, and the woman's like, well, I could do what I please, you know, type of thing. So I don't see very often the concept being switched around where it's the woman who's like, well, I have this mate, and, I also wanted to throw in a complication there, because in the book, Bill is a bounty hunter. Bill is hunting down Kendall to take back to this horrible werewolf gentleman. I use that term loosely, gentleman. And he has to hunt her down. He hunts her down. He finds her. And that's when Kendall realizes, oh, my God, this is my fated mate. And he is going to take me back to my worst enemy. This sucks. And so it was one way to like throw another monkey wrench into the plan, because it was just kind of a fun little complication there where it's like, I want to run for my life, but I also have this instinct that I need to be with this guy. And so that was really a fun one to do. And it was also fun because it made Kendall a little more of an aggressive character when it comes to sexuality. And she's already a very sexual character. She's very aggressive in this very flirty way. She's not... Because I have also Valerie, who is a very aggressively sexual character in my second book, Valkyrie Spear. And she was a little different personality-wise. She was very blatant, crass, funny, and I wanted Kendall to have that same kind of feel, but I wanted her to be a little more cutesy and flirty. She is she has this rockabilly pinup girl motif about her. She wears her hair in victory rolls. She loves to wear heels and bright lipstick. And I wanted her to have that same feel, but I wanted her to be a little more, I guess vintage is a good word for it. I wanted her to be a little more like softer, I guess is a good, than Valerie, who is just a very take what she wants. And I'm going, I don't care what you think. And so it was kind of another great aspect to make otherwise who would have been a little like a character who would have been more timid, and of course, you know, since she was the hero's bounty, she kind of is at his mercy. It gives her a chance to kind of have the upper hand and a little more aggression. And that was really a fun concept to kind of play with and make her, you know, a little more of a predator. Not really a predator. That's a horrible choice of words. A little more power. She had a little more power in her situation. Where in other situations, it would have been like the meek female stuck in this guy's car, you know, type of thing.
Right. Right.
And I also obviously wanted Bill faded to her in return, just because I think that would also, once again, throw a monkey wrench in his whole issue, because he's attracted to her. But then that adds a whole issue of, do I turn her in? Do I not turn her in? What do I do with her? I, you know, my life's at stake if I don't turn her in. But if I turn her in, I'm going to probably just, you know, die of grief. And right. and then another concept I really had fun with was, I always wondered this with a lot of paranormal romance, was, what if you're fated to someone who was horrible? I mean, that had to have happened at least once or twice. And I did wanted to have my villain is a werewolf, and he actually is fated to kindle as well. So I did introduce a concept of a female or male could be fated to more than one person. It just depends on who gets there first. And right. It turns out, even though Kindle isn't fated back to the villain, he's fated to her, and he's also out of his freaking mind, and he's a horrible, you know, a horrible creature. And so I wanted to kind of introduce that whole concept of, well, you could be fated to someone, but you could have, like, lost that jackpot and got stuck with someone who is awful. And that's actually another concept I'm probably going to explore a little further in other future books, because it's the fated mates thing is such a huge thing with the werewolves in my world.
Talk a little bit more about, you mentioned Kindle's specific look. So you did talk a little bit about it, but what, she's 500 years old, but she kind of got to the 1940s and didn't leave. So talk a little bit about your choice to your decision to give her that look.
I just really love, well, one, that's kind of my aesthetic in a lot of ways. I really love that whole rockabilly pinup girl look. That's something I just was attracted to for majority of my life. And most of my women, I try to make them all very distinct in how they look and their, you know, attire and all of that. Like, we have Valerie, who's extremely athletic. She's a jeans and t-shirts type of gal, wears her hair in a ponytail. We have Faith from Alchemy's Hunger, who is clearly like the hipster girl, you know, who dresses really silly and doesn't care. And Adele, who is a little more conservative with her clothing. And I just kind of spread that out. And I wanted Kindle to have a very distinct personality and distinct look. I love the idea that she was such a free spirit that she decided to become a pinup girl in the 1940s. And she had such a great time in the 40s. She was a pinup girl. She probably had 50 bazillion boyfriends. I never go into it in the book, but you do find out that at one point her and her friends did live in Hollywood during the heyday of Hollywood, the 30s and 40s. And she was in heaven the entire time. She just loved it. And her friends didn't love it as much, but she loved it. So she just kind of like loved the aesthetic. She felt very attractive in that time period. So it just stuck. And it always, and it was an aesthetic she loved, and she stayed with it, and God be damned about the trends. And and she also, since Kindle is a type of character who loves to be the center of attention, like all the time, that, you know, keeping that aesthetic as the time period goes on made her stand out, and she loved that because it got her attention. And she's adorable, so that got her even more attention. So she was like, well, this has been working for me so far, so I'm just going to stick with it.
Go with what works.
Exactly. That's exactly it right there.
So Bill and Kindle are the main characters, and you've spoken about them, but there's actually kind of a third main character in the book in Beast. So talk about Beast.
All right. So I wish I could take full credit for Beast, but I can't. I actually have a very good friend of mine named Doug Chansant. He's been an old friend of mine for years. We were role-playing friends for years. We did a lot of internet on-screen, you know, text-based RPGs, that sort of thing. And we're still friends to this day. And he actually helped me develop the concept of villain and Beast. He was a big help. Like, Bill was kind of a character he created a long time ago, and I found him really interesting. So when I was creating Starting Fires and writing it, I said, I really love this concept. Do you mind if I use this character? And he was like, go for it. I don't mind. This is awesome. So he actually had a sentient car, but it was a little less, I gave Beast a little more oomph, I think. But Beast was this sentient car. And at first, I really had fun with the idea of Bill being the lone cowboy and Beast is his horse, essentially, when you get right down to it. That's kind of the concept I was playing with. And I wanted Beast to be just this, like, the trusted, loyal pet, eventually. He's not really a pet. He's just a buddy. And just how a lot of people are so attached to their pets, their cats, their dogs, I wanted that same kind of dynamic where Bill and Beast have been together since Bill was a child. Obviously, he wasn't always a car because, you know, Bill is, you know, hundreds of years old. And I liked the concept of, I didn't want it just to be like, I brought with my magic a sentient car to life and now he's my buddy. I like the idea that they were together since he was a child and he was a completely different animal and that their bond was so strong that Bill would do anything to make sure he lived. And that's what happened is he had put him in the body of a car. And he was really a fun character, right? And it's funny because a lot of people really, really love Beast. And that makes me really happy because I just wanted him to be this sweet, lovable, kind of doofy type of character, like a really lovable German Shepherd, essentially is how I tried to write him. And he's, you know, easily swayed. He's not the most intelligent, but, you know, he's got the intelligence of a German Shepherd. And he was, like, just loyal to a fault to Bill, and Bill is loyal to a fault to him. And that's another really fun monkey wrench to throw into because in the beginning when Bill was just like, okay, well, my life's at risk if I let Kendall go, but he would be the type of character that would be, well, I'll just give up my life, whatever. I don't care. My life wasn't that great. But as soon as Beast gets into the mix and his life becomes threatened through the second villain and starting fires, that's when things start getting complicated because Bill does not want to give up Beast for anything. Like he'd lay his own life down with no problems. But as soon as Beast is threatened, there's a whole new set of problems there for Bill. And and I think that because Bill was such a loner character, he needed someone just like, and he needed someone that was going to be fiercely loyal and wasn't going to muddy the waters too much with his decisions. So that's why I had fun creating Beast. And I really get excited when readers read the book and they say, oh my God, I love that car so much. And it just, I don't know. And it also kind of gives another little, you know, because he's a vintage car. He's a 55 Mercury. And Kendall is, you know, stuck in the 1940s. So there's this little tiny connection of aesthetic there that I also had fun putting together. That he has, his best friend is a vintage car, and now his fated mate is this little pinup girl from the 40s. So that's kind of a fun little, like, twist to put there that was really subtle.
Nice. And there's actually a vintage car in Valerie's story too that she restores. What is it, a Firebird?
Yes.
So
it's a Firebird, Freya.
Are you a car are you a car person?
Not in the least. My husband's more of a car person, so I go to him a lot for help for that. He's honestly, it's just watching him watch Top Gear is really what helps a lot, because he really loves Top Gear. But I am not a car person. I just kind of look at a car and go, "Ooh, that's pretty," and that's about it.
Right. Yeah.
But I love the idea. In a lot of romance novels, especially a lot of the paranormal I write, read. There's a lot of authors who put in really hot cars. And I think that's just, you know, hot dude, hot car, you know, type of thing. Makes sense. But I like the fact that I like that concept of having hot cars and that sort of thing. But I also really liked the idea of, like, having some of the women have some of the hot cars for a change, which is what I did in Valerie's career, where she had the hot car and her hero was like, well, I don't even know how to drive. And so it was just, you know, it's just a fun concept that I like putting little cars here and there. But they have to, for me, it can't be just like, my guy has a hot car. It has to be a car that I think reflects the character in some way, shape, or form.
And I am going to jump in here so we can take our second break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking more about Cynthia's writing. We'll be talking more about what's next for this series and a whole bunch of more fun and funny topics. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the conclusion to my interview with Cynthia Diamond, author of The Weird Love Series, of which we are mainly talking about book five, Starting Fires. So let's go ahead and get right back to that interview.
So what's next with this series?
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
So much. Well, it's funny because I do want to eventually work on another series, but I keep getting sucked into this one. I really like working on this series. And it's also time. I work full time as well, so it's hard to like go, well, I'm going to work on three different series, and then it's like, well, I also have to work 8 hours
right.
a day. But it's I am continuing the series at this point. It looks like it's going to be maybe, I don't know, maybe 12 books at the rate I'm going. Then a couple novellas, perhaps. The problem is I fall down the rabbit hole a lot. And I write a character, I write a book, and then I have a minor character that I've become really attached to, and I feel they need a story. And that, unfortunately, did happen with, or fortunately, happened with Starting Fires at least three times. So there's, like, about two minor characters in there that I will be probably branching out, and they'll be getting books as well. I tried to make it obvious. I don't know how obvious it really was. And
well, I'm assuming Piper would be one of those characters.
Definitely. Well, yeah, Piper actually is, her book has already been started. The other character is Christian, who is the that's the rescue. Yeah, he was really fun to write. I really had way too much fun with him, and now I'm like super excited to kind of like delve into his life. And I kind of hinted on at the end of Starting Fires who he is going to be paired with. And that, I think, is going to be really fun. I'm really excited about that one. But that one's a little on the back burner. So, yes, Piper's story, who is the witch that is Kindle's best friend, she is going to be having a book. But as I said earlier, and I said, oh, yeah, the Constant Sister storyline is done. It really wasn't. And the family has not been completely addressed. And I'm returning to them in book six just to kind of wrap it all up. In Siren Song, there is Cousin Wendy, who is kind of a horrible B word, I guess.
Yeah, she's not terribly nice.
Yeah, she's not a very nice person, but I've been batting around the idea of kind of expanding on why she was such a self-centered B word. And I decided to just write her book. And a lot of that was encouragement from my mom. And I don't know why my mom fixated on that character so much to this day. And she was like, are you going to give Wendy a book? And I'm like, I don't think so. And she's like, oh, you know, you should. And I was like, why? I don't know. She just seems interesting. And I'm like, okay, mom, sure. So I just bat around the idea. And I was kind of hemming and hawing, like, no, she needs to be kind of a bat, you know, kind of a pain in the butt. She needs to just be a two-dimensional character. But then I kept bringing her up because there were issues where there were moments where I was like, well, they could have solved this problem if they just went to Wendy. But I had to give Wendy a reason why she wasn't helping other than she's just a tremendous jerk. So I was like, and I'm like, because it didn't seem right. Like, I don't feel like Jack would have like been with her as long as he did if she was as horrible as I was kind of making her out to be. And so I was like, all right, well, she disappeared. We don't know where she went. And then every time someone was like, well, why don't we go to Cousin Wendy? There would be someone going, well, we can't find her. And I'm like, well, I can't leave it hanging like that. Because it just seems like, well, what happened to Wendy? Did she fall off a cliff? What, you know, so. So I'm
shouldn't
writing,
somebody be looking for her?
Nobody's looking for her? What's going on? Why is everyone going, well, we can't find her. Oh, well, let's just go on with
her. That's okay. She was kind of a bee anyway. Whatever.
Yeah, don't be like Wendy, whatever. You know, type of thing. It didn't seem right. So I went back and kind of like poked it a little bit and poked the idea of why the heck did I make Wendy disappear for so long? And she, I kept coming up with more ideas. And now I decided, yeah, you know what? I got enough ideas that I need to write this. It's too much fun of an idea. So we get why Wendy disappears for three books, and why she, you know, where she went. And I'm actually really excited. I already started it. I'm about like six chapters in writing the book right now. And it runs about just the same way that Dryad's Vine and Alchemy's Hunger run congruent timeline-wise. This book pretty much runs congruent with Siren Song. So while the first book, Siren Song, is going on and Jack and Adele meet and Jack and Adele fall in love, you see all the craziness that Wendy has been dealing with while that drama has been happening. And why, you know, why she makes the decisions she makes. And it's actually been really fun. And I'm not trying to make her like a redeemable, like she's just been this misunderstood person. No, she's a bee. She always will be a bee. Just like Tony is a jerk and will always be a jerk. But I really wanted to make a story where it's like why she wasn't just a mustache twirling villain. She was like, she had made the decisions because of A, B, and C. So you discover like why she like spelled half the town to be in love with her, and like why she, you know, was with Jack for as long as she did, and then just literally just jumped ship. And you find out, which I'm really excited to tell, is the actual relationship between her and I'm putting this in quote, vampire boyfriend, Steven, who is not the hero of her book. But you do find out what their true relationship is. And I'm really excited about that one because Steven has been really fun to like write, and you realize what his true personality is because he was in that first book essentially just a Ken doll. He was like no expression, just stood there, nothing. And you find out why he was like that and what was going on and actually who Steven truly really was. And he's been a lot of fun to write. And of course, I'm falling down the rabbit hole going, oh, now I want to write Steven's book.
But yes, you'll never escape.
I'm never escaping the series. It's going to go on forever because of plot bunnies, and it's horrible. I have to stop. I need to slow down. So Steven is, you find out what Steven is. And Wendy's been really fun and intriguing to write and really fun to kind of like go into her decisions. So that's actually going to be book six, so I can wrap up the whole Constance family completely with her book. And then I'll be returning to the Kindle storyline that I started in book five. And you find out about Piper and Keegan, who is another werewolf that is introduced in Starting Fires. He actually is also introduced in Dryad's Vine. A lot of the characters in Starting Fires were introduced in book three, which is Dryad's Vine. And so you get to see Keegan and his crazy brother Kenan, and you get to see how their big giant wolf pack works and how their society works. And Piper's a really fun character to explore. She's going to be a lot of fun. It's like my first witch, and she also has a really grumpy familiar named Salem, who is her cat. And so we're throwing a cat in the mix too, which is going to be a lot of fun. And that one is going to kind of run in congruent also as well with Starting Fires and then take place a little after. So Starting Fires is kind of like the middle of Piper's book. And I'm really excited to show like all these strange things that have been like twisting the two stories together. So you can kind of see how the villains relate to each other and how the wolf packs relate to each other. And you get to see more of Kindle and Piper and Raina when they were young. And I'm starting to slowly hint on like more stuff with Raina. Raina's been a fun character to explore simply because she started out as just like a badass vampire, and now she's like slowly getting this like you start to see more about what she has to deal with and who she has to deal with and why she always is like looking slightly frustrated all the time. So I'm very excited about that too. So that's the next two plans. After that, I may take a break from the world for a minute before my brain explodes and try working on one of the new series that I've been plotting for years.
Your brain sounds like a very complicated place.
It is, actually. Remember when we were talking about overthinking?
That's
where it leads eventually.
The series recently got new covers.
Yes.
So talk about that. How involved were you in that process?
I was actually very involved, which is really cool. My original cover artist, Lynn Anderson, who's amazing, and I adore her. She was wonderful, but she literally just was running out of time. She is a professional artist and she's friggin' amazing. The problem was that she just didn't have time to work on my cover. She was giving me a very deep, wonderful friends and family discount. I've known Lynn for years. And I felt like I was taking advantage. And a lot of it was just me going, "Hey, you want to do a book cover?" And she'd be like, "Sure," and whip one out. And then after a while, she's like, "I got a lot on my plate. I'm not sure when I'm going to get to it." And I was like, "You know what? Why don't we stop for a while? I'll get new covers." And eventually when things slow down for her, she said she's going to continue doing illustrations, but for the inside of the books, because the first four books have covers by her. And I love the drawing so much, I didn't want to part with them. So I actually put them on the inside of each book. Starting Fires doesn't have one. And that's simply because life exploded for both of us at the exact same time, and we were just like, you know what, it's good. but she's like still pretty, like she still wants to help, and a lot of it also was just, as much as I love the covers and thought they were wonderful, they weren't selling very well, and I needed something a little, like, I guess I hate to say it, but they just weren't selling very well. So I had to find something that was going to show up a little better online. In a, like, would be a little more eye-catching. I moved on to another graphic artist. Her name is Wendy Lee, and she's fantastic as well. She's a graphic artist, so she works mostly with digital. We talked about what I wanted, actually what I did a long time ago. I do have a little bit of an art background, and I made mock-ups of covers that I wanted. But the problem is I'm not a graphic artist. I'm just like I like to sketch. I like to just throw things together. But what I was doing didn't look right. Everything looked slightly crooked, I guess is a good way of putting it. It just wasn't reading right. So I decided to go to a graphic artist. So Wendy and I chatted online, and I said, "Okay, these are my mock-ups. These are, you know, I bought the rights to the photos. This is the font I'm looking at. But I can't make it look right. It doesn't look right when I do it." And it was kind of nice because she's like, "Well, you just did like almost all the footwork for me." So she's like, "All I have to do is put this together." And I'm like, "That's fantastic." So I gave her all the files and everything. And she came up with the new look, which I think is gorgeous. I absolutely am in love with my new covers. I think they're very distinct. They're easy to spot. They're very eye-catching. And honestly, my sales have improved since I changed the covers. And I think it also gives them a little more of a through line. So, and it was really something I agonized over because I really loved my original covers a lot. I really loved it. And it's just one of those things where you have to look at it as much as you love what you love. You have to look at it as a business and what's going to work and what's not going to work. And I had to make that decision of, as much as I love what these covers look like, I have to go with more what's on trend if I want to try to make some money. And that's what I did, and I made the decision, and it was clearly a right decision because I have been getting more attention with them. So that's kind of the pattern we'll be following for a while in the series until, like, maybe the trends change again and I have to get a new cover artist. But that's what it looks like. And hopefully when life eases up for Lynn, I will be getting illustrations to put inside the books again.
Okay, fun. Yeah, because they're very, very different. The covers that you have, you know, from the first ones to the new ones, but
yeah, I did. So, they definitely went from stereotypical romance novel to a little more slick paranormal. So
yeah. So, you know, you've got a full time job and you've got 852 books in your head that you're writing mentally. When you have time to read, what have you been reading lately?
Oh, gosh. Actually, what I've been doing is devouring audiobooks. So that, and I will say audiobooks have been my savior, which is why I'm so determined to make sure my series gets out on Audible. Since I'm always so like running around like crazy, that audiobooks have been my savior. I have one of my favorite authors right now is a lovely lady who I became friends with named L.A. Witt. And she writes, which I think is wonderful, is gay, lesbian, trans, and bi romances. She mostly writes contemporary, which I usually don't read, but I will read her stuff in a heartbeat. And I picked up one of her random books. And the reason I picked up one of her random books is we share a narrator. So Michael Fiariolo does Weird Love. And he also does a lot of Lori's books. And that's how I found her, was I was looking up other stuff that Michael did. And I went, oh, what's this book? And I bought it, fell in love with the book. It was fantastic. And so I met her at a convention. And then we literally sat together and fangirled over our narrator for like 5 minutes. How amazing he is and how sweet he is. And oh, my God, I have a crush on my own narrator. And we're both married women. And so I just started picking up her books. The few I just finished, the ones that I loved is my favorite of hers, absolutely favorite of hers, is called When the Seas Catch Fire. And it is a romantic suspense, a gay romantic suspense. One gentleman is mafioso, the other is a Russian hitman. They fall in love, and it sounds a little like far-fetched, but it is written so well. She did her homework when it came to how the mob works, how assassins work, all of that. It is so suspenseful. The chemistry between the characters is so wonderful. And I was just like, I could not stop listening to it. Like, I wanted to be stuck in traffic so I could listen to that book. I'm not kidding. I love that one. Another one I just listened to, which is a complete 180 from going from romance, is I also love horror. One of my favorite horror writers is Mira Grant. And she wrote a series called the News Flesh series, which is a wonderful take on the super unique. It takes place way after the zombie apocalypse, which is what I love. But the one I just read about from her was called Into the Drowning Deep. And I kid you not, killer mermaids. That's what it's about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. That was the first thing I thought was, okay, well, that's an interesting concept. And she works that so beautifully. Like, you think it sounds like a silly concept, but she is a writer that really goes into science. She really marries herself to the science of her worlds. A lot of her books really are about, you know, how this happened, how the science of her creatures work, including she did that with zombies. She's doing this with mermaids. And she writes this amazingly believable world that's set in the not too distant future of these group of scientists going out to find these mythical mermaids that destroyed one of their research vessels a long time ago. And nobody has ever figured out what happened, if it was a hoax, what was going on. And this research vessel goes out to go find them, and they find them, and they're horrible. And it literally turns into this terrifying tale of survival halfway through. It is, and they're all scientists, so it's even more interesting because they really go into why these creatures are the way they are, how they like fit in with the myth of the mermaid that has been going on for years. And the characters are extremely likable. I mean, not likable, but they're very like intriguing, and you just can't stop reading about them. Every single person she puts in that book has a distinct personality. Whether you like them or not is, you know, up for debate, but you're always enthralled, always want to know what these people are up to. And that's another one I listened to on audio. I loved it so much I went and bought the book and handed it to my husband and said, if you do not read this, I will not talk to you for a week. And he started reading it because he also loves Mira Grant. So I was like, oh my God, you got to read this book so much. It's so good. And I really love it. Like I said, I love horror. It is, I will give the warning, it's bloody. It's very bloody. It's very suspenseful. It can be really scary. So the world she constructed is so amazingly intricate and beautiful. And the science that she goes into around all of the creatures is so precise that it really feels real. Like, you sit there and go like, wow, did this really happen? Like, halfway through the book, you know? It's fantastic. I always recommend Mira Grant. If you ever see her name on anything, just pick it up. You won't be disappointed.
Okay. I can't move away from Killer Mermaids.
Yeah, I know. But a lot of people say, the minute that comes out of my mouth, everyone's like, okay. But no, really,
my brain is stuck there.
Trust me.
You have a website, so give the address of your website and tell us where we can find you on social media.
Sure. My website is CynthiaDiamondAuthor.com. You can find all my book information there. I'm on Amazon, I'm on Kobo, I'm on Nook, I'm on iBooks, I'm kind of everywhere. My first two books are on Audible, as well as wherever audiobooks are sold, because I am an audiobook junkie. I'm very active on social media, so if you ever want to come talk to me, I love to chat. I am kind of one of those people. You can find me on Facebook if you search for Cynthia Diamond Author. I'm on Instagram, and mostly pictures of my cats, to be perfectly honest. Pictures of my cats and me burritoed in a blanket. That's pretty much almost my entire Instagram. And I'm Cins Diamond, C-I-N-S Diamond, on Instagram. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm not quite as active on Twitter. I kind of forget Twitter's there, to be perfectly honest. I'll be active for like a day and then you won't hear from me. But I do have a Twitter. And that's also Cins Diamond, C-I-N-S Diamond. Those are my three big hangouts. I also, if you really like get into my books and want to meet other readers, I have a very tiny readers group called Cynthia's Weirdlings. You can join it. It is a closed group, but if you join, I'll just approve you probably instantly and you can jump in. It's a slow moving group, but we like to post memes. Sometimes there's giveaways. Occasionally I might say, hey, could you share this on your page? But you don't really have to. I try to make it easy. So it's slowly growing. The community is slowly getting a little more active. So if you've read my stuff and you're really into it, it's a really great place to like come and chat with not just me, but with other readers. They're a little shy, a lot of my readers, but they're all amazing human beings. And so they're fun to like, you know, get talking. Once you get them talking, they'll start talking.
Yep. You posted a post in that group last week about posting your pets, and that was a lot of fun because everybody loves their little fur babies.
Everyone gets really excited, and they're like, look at my pets, and I love looking at pets. So if you just post a picture, hey, this is my cat, I will probably go ballistic. I'm not kidding.
Yes. Well, we have talked about quite a lot of different topics, but is there anything that we haven't covered in this interview that you would like for people to know?
No, I think we covered just about everything, actually.
Okay.
I tend to babble a lot, so there you go. I probably touched on anything that you may have thought, you know.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. I had such a fun time last time, and then thank you for having me back.
Oh, I loved it. It was wonderful. And the new book is Starting Fires. It is out, so people can find it, and yeah, and we will have you back for the next book, and the book after
that.
That
would be great. Have me back.
There's so many.
Until your listeners get really bored of me, I will be happy to keep coming back.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you once again to my guest, Cynthia Diamond. I love when Cynthia comes on the podcast. She makes me laugh and she's so much fun to talk to. So I really enjoy her and I'm very glad that she is willing to keep coming back. And I hope she continues to do so with her upcoming books. If you are interested in Starting Fires, and if you have any love of romance or fantasy or both, then you should be interested in it. Then you do have a chance to win a copy of the book. Very easy. All you have to do is go to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, our social media page. I guess I should specify, not just any Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, but the GSMC Book Review, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and comment on the post, interview 144, episode 144, interview with Cynthia Diamond, and just comment on that post. Like I said, it's that easy. Comment on the post and you'll automatically be entered to win a copy of Starting Fires. And don't worry if you haven't read the first four. I have read them in completely weird order because of the interview I did with her. The first interview, I started with book four, then I read one and two, jumped ahead to five, and I still have to jump back and read three. You can absolutely start anywhere. There are things that tie together, but you can read them as standalone novels. So if you're interested in Starting Fires, do go to GSMC Book Review Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and comment on this post. Thank you once again to Cynthia. Thank you, as always, to my listeners. You are wonderful. I know you're wonderful because you're book people, so you have to be wonderful. Hope you're having a great week, and join me again on Thursday when I think we'll be maybe taking a little trip to Ireland. I'm going to stay in the studio, sadly. It won't be a real trip to Ireland, but that's the joy of books. So join me on Thursday, but in the meantime, go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.